So, thanks for coming out after all the various parties last night. I hope everybody's not feeling too worse for wear. I'm Tom Arbuthnot, and this session is around Link Online. So I'm a Link Certified Master and MVP. I work for a partner called Modality Systems, and we do Link all around the world, Link Server, Link Online. So lots of hands-on experience. Both on the technical side, but equally, if not more so important, on the business side as well. Just a few housekeeping bits. Questions are fine throughout. It's your session as much as it's my session, so please ask questions. The AV guys at the back have a roaming mic, so if you have a question, if you could stick your hand up, then they'll bring the mic over to you. And if we go too far down the rabbit hole, you can grab me after the session. I'll be at the Office 365 booth during lunchtime, and I'll be at Ask the Experts later. So what are we going to cover today? So it's a mix of business and technical, and I think that's right for Link Online, because the reality is it's the challenge of getting it deployed is a mix of business and technical. We're going to go through some basic setup. So how many people have got Link Online today? Can I have a few hands? Okay, so quite a few, good. And how many of you got Link Server or hybrid setups? Yeah, it's probably about half. Okay, cool. So we'll go through some of the basics on that. We'll then go through some considerations about the setup beyond just enabling it. And then some of the advanced stuff, how you set up the audio conferencing providers to give yourselves dial-in, how you do some of the cool PowerShell stuff around managing users and policies, which is very important. And then digging into some business stuff around how you ensure success, both technically and user-wise, and the reporting. Finally, we'll just touch on your hybrid options, which I think are important to understand when you're deploying online. So, setting up Link Online. Well, first, what is Link Online? That might help set the level. So, you have Link Server, which is your on-premise private cloud option for Link, and then you have Link Online, which is your Office 365 option for Link. They're mostly similar, and there are some slight deviations between the two products. So essentially, there's no advanced media controls in terms of where media routes in Office 365 Link Online, and there's no enterprise voice, which is the you have a phone number on your Link client. If you do want those things, then hybrid is probably the model for you, or Link Server, and we'll talk about how you get those things with a mixed Link Online, Link Server deployment. So what can you actually give your users with Link Online? The answer is quite a lot. I mean, Link Server is a big product, and it takes quite a few servers and a bit of time to set up. It amazes me that for the few dollars a month you pay for Office 365, you get Link Online and you can enable it really quickly and give your features to a lot of users. So instant messaging and presence, I put that first, and as Link guys, we often gloss over that because it's like, well, obviously instant messaging and presence. But you forget businesses that don't have that, what a revelation that is in terms of communications. It used to be a few years ago, we got questions around, Is it a productivity killer, or is it actually a value add? We don't get that anymore. It seems to all be now, we understand we need quick communications, quick decisions. We need people to be able to access us anywhere, work from home, and all that just from instant messaging and presence can be a massive value add. Obviously, you get peer-to-peer voice and video. So it's not phone calls, it's VoIP, it's essentially peer-to-peer between Link users. But again, within your company, if you roll out Link Online, all your users can talk to each other from Link client to Link client. And that includes the mobile clients as well. Desktop sharing and whiteboarding, so real collaborative working, that's all in there in Link Online. Federation, both with external orgs and with Skype. Again, huge, huge value add, I feel. We've seen entire deployments being pushed now by particularly sales teams who say, well, my competitor has federation with our customer and they're getting more orders or more traction because they're available at the other side of an instant message. We know when they're there, we can have quick chats. And so kind of in the last 12 months, we've seen whole deals pulled through on the basis that it's a competitive advantage to have federation. Federation with Skype, obviously the whole B2C thing is pretty hot right now, and that's only growing in importance, I think. Online meetings, something that probably if you don't have a link online, you're paying somebody else to do, be it a traditional audio conferencing provider or another kind of web conferencing provider. You can do all that on link online. Important to note that to get dial-in conferencing, so to have a PSDN number for link online, you have to talk to an audio conferencing provider, which is a third-party provider, to provide that number, and we'll go through how that works today. Mobile clients, obviously, and anywhere access. And again, all of this, link online, tick the box, enable the users, push the clients out, and it's there. No massive server rollout, you're just there. So set up basics. So I'm not going to take you through how to set up DNS records. It's very well documented. But essentially, Link Online comes with nearly all the Office 365 packages. I say nearly all because it sometimes varies from region to region, but I think it basically is all of them. To use Link Online, you need a client. And if you buy the lower end packages of Office 365 or you have an older version of Office, there is a Link 2013 basic client. It's essentially the desktop client with a couple of features missing, which aren't really relevant to Link Online. So it's basically the full client, and it's absolutely license-free. So if you buy Office 365 E1, you don't get Office Pro Plus with it. You can still roll out Link Online with the Link client. And you can set up users in a web portal or in PowerShell. And the web portal, again, is pretty much a next affair. We're going to dive a little bit into managing with PowerShell. I'm hoping I don't need to convert many people on PowerShell these days, but it kind of is the future of automation for Microsoft products and management and repeatability and kind of doing this stuff quickly. So we'll show how easy that is during the session. So network setup. This is an interesting one. Obviously, Link Online is hosted in Microsoft Office 365. Your users have to be able to connect to Office 365. Sounds obvious, but it needs some thought. It's all over internet, so you need to think about where your tenant is located. So for those of you that don't understand the terminology, when you pick a link on an Office 365 installation for the first time, so you set it up for your company, you pick a region where your tenant, your Office 365, is located. That's an important decision because effectively that is where you then choose to live your Exchange, your SharePoint, and your Link. And it's almost most important for Link because any conference scenario in Link, the media from your users will be going to that Office 365 data center and being mixed on those servers. So you ideally want that tenant to be as close to the majority of your users as possible, because then you're reducing the latency, reducing the level of internet you need to go across to set up Link Online sessions. Now you say to me, well, I've got equal users in the US, in APAC, and I've got a couple in somewhere else, like miles away. How do I deal with that? Well, you're back to hybrid then. Hybrid gives you a great option to pick the place where your tenant would be, where the majority of the users are. For the users that are too far away geographically or you have to guarantee an experience, for those guys you can set up Link Server and we can have the two systems work seamlessly together. So there's a couple of URLs. The deck will be circulated afterwards and it will be on Channel 9. Setting up your network, basic DNS settings set up, but Microsoft also lists all the web addresses and the IP addresses to connect to the Link Online service and to the other Office 365 services as well. And I see people overlook this a lot because it basically always works. Link will find a way to get to its home servers, so it will work its way usually through firewalls and reverse proxies. But if you've got firewalls and reverse proxies, and most people have, you can optimize the experience by putting exclusions or policy rules on your firewalls and on your web proxies to say these addresses are whitelisted, we know what they are. And you'll be surprised, sometimes that can really improve the experience because you're actually letting the traffic go through in the most optimum way rather than kind of finding its way and tunneling through your firewall infrastructure. So those get overlooked a lot and they're really worth taking note of. Network testing. So we've said Link Online goes over the internet, but I think we all know there's internet connections and then there's internet connections, and there's Wi-Fi and then there's Wi-Fi. And you need to think about this, particularly from your office to Office 365, how good is your internet connection? And not just its bandwidth, but in terms of jitter and latency and throughput. Is there any packet shaping by your provider? Does your ability to kind of, you know, connect to the internet vary in the day because you've got not the right kind of connection? You need to be able to kind of talk to your provider ideally, but at least run some of these tests and understand how good is my internet connection, particularly in the day at peak time. Is it going to be up to sending media to Office 365 and back? So a couple of useful tools. There's a desktop and a modern app for Windows 8 that does network tests actually on the desktop. This is really cool because you're testing exactly from the user to Office 365. Really, really useful for Wi-Fi as well. Wi-Fi is incredibly variable. If your users are going to be using Wi-Fi for Link Online, use this tool and get a feel for how well the Wi-Fi is performing. And then there's three web-based cloud app applications that, again, do similar tests and give you good metrics around throughput, latency, jitter. So you can just run those up on any machine and see how good your internet connectivity is. These are also really useful for people working from home. If they're saying they're not getting the optimum experience or they're having issues, these are the tools that I would jump to first to say, actually, do you realise it's because the kids are smashing the Xbox and all your bandwidth's being used or your Wi-Fi is not quite right or whatever it is. It just gives you a good insight into how well the network's working. Now we're moving on to setting up dial-in conferencing. This is another one that it's really simple and often it doesn't get done. So Office 365, Link Online, you get conferencing out of the box, but it's all VoIP based. So you click links and you join via the link client or via the mobile client. And external parties can join as well. They can join through a web browser, they can join through the mobile apps. They don't have to have an account, they can just jump in. So you can have a customer join on the iPad and join your link meeting, that's fine. But once you want to provide a traditional dial-in number that you know people use a lot today and you kind of want in conferencing, you need to talk to an audio conferencing provider. There's three certified providers, Intercall, BT, PGI, and what those guys have done is they've worked closely with Microsoft and they've got SIP trunks in POPs directly into Office 365. So they're able to provide you a dial-in number anywhere around the world. They have global coverage that will connect to your Office 365 tenants. And what that gives you is it gives you the ability to publish a phone number with the meeting so that people joining can dial in the traditional way, and they'll be mixed with the people who are online in their web browser, on the iPad, on the desktop client, all in one meeting. There is a separate contract. These are third-party providers. It usually works on a per-minute or a per-user basis, and it kind of scales depending on how many seats you're buying and who you're working with. So in terms of enabling it, it's really simple. There's two ways. There's a web portal, and then there's a CSV. So here's an example of the web portal. So this is from the guys at PGI on my tenant. They just set me an account up. All of this took... It took them half a day to send the email to set the account up, and it took literally 2 minutes and it was working. So in Office 365, under your Link Online, your admin center, if you're setting this up manually, you just pick the user, put the provider name in, put the dial-in details in. You have an option of two numbers, toll and toll-free, and you put in an individual participant passcode. Now, more than likely, you're going to be doing more than one user at a time, I hope. So you probably want to go the other route, which is they send you a CSV with all your users populated, all your dial-in numbers. You can simply import that CSV, and all your users will be set up in one go. Really simple. You'll notice there's two numbers. So you can see here, this is what my join experience looks like once I have it set up, toll and toll free. The providers can provide a lot more than two numbers. When you click the find local number, that pops you to the provider's website and will give you all the geographical numbers you paid for. So you can have numbers for every region, have your customers dial in locally. Another little tip on the meeting invite, you can customize the meeting invite for your company. Again, really simple, kind of a 5-minute job. You put in specific URLs for logos, for help, and for legal, and you can have those, hi guys, you can have those go off to your personal websites, your company websites around our legal disclaimer text, our help text, our logo. And you see on the right here is what the experience looks like. So it's just taking those extra steps to kind of customize it and make it unique for your companies. Sure.
How do you handle that for multilingual companies?
The dial-in? Yeah, so I'll repeat the question. How do you handle the dial-in conferencing invite for multiple companies? I think offhand you can set it, I'm not sure you set it globally or per user. If you grab me afterwards, we'll pull up my admin console and have a look. I'm pretty sure you can divide it per user, but let's have a look. So onto the PowerShell. So how do you manage your Office 365 tenants? Well, we've got the admin portal, and that's all very nice and easy, but it's not the fastest or the most efficient or the most repeatable way to manage your tenants. So now we're going to go into some of the PowerShell. There is a link online PowerShell module which you download and install. There's 49 commandlets, and I'll dive into a demo in a second where we'll see that running. And here's how we enable a user. And again, we'll just jump to the demo because it's more fun to see it happening. So this is an important concept to understand. With Link Online, there are a whole bunch of predetermined policies for you. So you have a selection of policies you can choose from, and you apply those policies on a user-by-user basis. So this is how you control. There are guides in a certain country that we don't want doing video, so we want to turn off video. These guys over here aren't allowed to do file transfer, so we want to turn off file transfer. These guys aren't allowed to do recording, but are allowed to do video. There's a whole bunch of policies, and in the demo, we'll go through how you apply those to your users. So, demo time. So to save me mistyping in front of all you guys, and so I can talk you through what's going on, I've basically pre-recorded a demo in the ISE. So we'll talk through what's happening as we go. Don't worry about scrolling down code. I put it all on my GitHub. So github.com/TomArbuthnot. This script that I'm running now is up there. You can grab it, steal it, play with it, whatever you guys want to do. So the first thing we're going to see is how do we connect to Link Online. So I'm on my desktop, and I want to make a connection to manage Link Online. Actually, there's four connections we're going to make. We make a connection to Azure AD, and that's how we manage our users, essentially. We make a connection to Link Online, how we manage our link settings. We also make a connection to Exchange Online, because we want to potentially do reporting, and all the link reporting actually comes from the Exchange Management Pack. And finally, just so you guys can see it, we've made a connection to SharePoint Online. So with these four lines of code, and where it popped and asked for my credentials, we're making a connection to each of those services, and the downloads here are downloading the relevant commandlets into this session. It's slightly different between the individual services. Some of them you pre-install MSIs. So for Link Online, for SharePoint Online, you pre-install MSIs, and for Azure AD. For the others, you just make a direct connection and all the commands are pulled down for you. Again, you can take this code, so that's all you need. One get credential, which was my admin credentials for Link Online, and four lines to connect to the four services, and we're away, basically. Now what's happening is there are modules being installed, essentially. Here we see some sessions set up. So here are the two sessions that are set up to link online for remoting, and the others, the SharePoint and the Azure AD, are doing local commandlets that then connect to the service remotely. So now I have full control over my whole tenant of any of the settings on any of the services. So the first thing we're going to do is, so here we see the individual modules, Link Online Connector, MS Online is the Azure AD, and two script modules, which are the commandlets downloaded for Exchange and for Link. If we want to see the Link commandlets, we can do a get command dash module, and then we type in the script module name. So that weird kind of GUID or set of letters and dots is the temporary home for the Link Online module. And if we do get commands, we see the 49 commands lift off available for Link. It's worth doing that ever so often because the commands do change over time, more gets added. So it's worth understanding what your options are there. For those of you that are familiar with Link Server, it's similar to Link Server in terms of the commandlets. There's around 49 at the moment. The coverage is obviously more on Link Server because there's more to do and more to customize. But if you're familiar with Link Server, it won't be that unusual for you. So next, now we're connected, I'm going to check my licensing. So this commandlet will allow me to check my licenses, and here we see my tenant name. I'm on an enterprise pack. I have 50 available licenses and I've consumed 13. So I can see I've got available seats in my tenant to enable. So the next thing we're going to do, which I think is just really cool, is one line of PowerShell to enable the user for Link Online, but also for all of Office 365, and assign the license. So it's new MSOL user, and you'll note here at the end, we have to set a location and we have to assign a license. We're using a bit of a PowerShell trick here to essentially say, for the license, get my licenses and get the ID, the account's QID, and assign that as the license. So as simple as one line, rather than clicking through and setting up all the individual settings on each service, one line and we're away, we've set up a user. So let's set up my tom.techedeurope user. And you'll see it takes around a second or so, depending on your connectivity, and it's going to create me a new user on my tenant. So there we go. For those of you that are sharp-eyed, there is the temporary password. This is pre-recorded, so you can't log into my account. But here's what we get. So we see their license, we see their UPN, display name, and the temporary password. It always generates a temporary password for you. And from here, we can be clever, and we can obviously generate an email with PowerShell that goes directly out to the user. Or we can set up some HR policy to say, on welcome, this is on your desk, here's your desk drop. However you want to handle it, with PowerShell you have a lot of flexibility. So what's the user experience for this Link Online user for the first time? So I will bring up the Link client, I think. I'm going to get my users first, sorry. So get CS Online user shows me a list of my available users, much like Link Server, so we can see the enabled accounts. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take that brand new user and sign them into Link for the first time and see what their experience is. So Link 2013 client, one line of PowerShell, input the username, input the temporary password, and what we'll see is first the Link client saying, do you want to cache your credentials? That's what it does, so the next time the user signs in, they don't need to put their password in. But it noticed that it said, your password needs updating. So we don't want admins to know the end user password. That's not very secure. We push the user to go and update the password. So one click, they're into the portal, and here we are updating their password. And that's their password for all online services. So So now we see, hi Tom, welcome. Because I'm on the Enterprise Pack, Office is available for me to download. My Outlook, my calendar, all my services are there ready to go. Now we jump back to the link client. Obviously we've changed the password. The sync is pretty quick, usually kind of 30, 60 seconds and you're there basically. We've put in the new password and now we'll see the link client signing in for the first time. So for those of you that just want Link Online for a start, you've got Exchange and SharePoint on-prem, you can set up Link Online with Federation, or you can set up Link Online accounts side by side as a test, set the users up and away you go. It's really simple. So now we're going to move on to policies. So first of all, I'm going to set a global policy. This is really straightforward. So we've decided that we're all go for Link Online, but we don't want the ability to record meetings. Compliance reasons, whatever it is. So just globally, we're going to disable recording. You can read the command, it's fairly easy. We're doing a set and we're saying allow a conference recording, or true in this case, so we're actually enabling it rather than disabling it. Probably because I disabled it previously. And you see there, we've performed the operation at a global level, so the whole tenant, no recording or recording allowed, depending on true or false. And now we're going to jump into per-user policies. So everything in Link Online is a per-user policy. We don't have security groups that we assign policies to, or user groups or sites. It's all per-user. And the policies are preset for you. So if we look at the client policies available, it's fairly straightforward. You see here we've got policies like no URLs in IM, no archiving, allow photos, disallow photos, all fairly straightforward, and you can set them on a per user basis. Similar for external access. So external access is your federation to other companies, to Skype. We can set per user, so we can allow some people federation and not others. And then we get into conferencing policies. And conferencing policies are where the power comes, but also they get a little bit more complicated. So what you see here, all the policies are tag. That means they assign to a user. But we get all the available policies for all the Office 365 options, all the Link Online options there. And you'll notice that they're labeled BPOS, so the old name for Office 365 Link Online. And then you have different BPOS L, BPOS S, BPOS D. These refer to different tenant types that are available. So not all of these policies will be applicable to your tenant. You'll have typically an S, a small, an M, a medium, or a large. Or you might have, if you know about it, you might have one of the specialist tenants, which are the other letters. So this is not super user-friendly. But we can fix it with PowerShell. And what we're going to do is, rather than listing out all those policies, we're going to filter them. So again, don't worry about getting the script down too much now, but essentially what we're going to do is we're going to filter on BPOS S, because that's my tenant, it's a small tenant. So we're going to say where object BPOS S star for wildcard. And then we're going to take the output, and rather than having these strings where it's all the words combined together, we just use a simple regex, a bit of playing about, and we'll get a description which tells me in English what the policy is. So you see here it's just a little bit more readable. So now we've got options that I can actually kind of easily read and understand. All we're doing is we're taking the policy name and splitting it out into spaces, but I just find it makes it way easier to manage on a day-to-day basis. So here we see our policy types. We can have all modalities enabled, which would be the default, but we can also do things like we can have everything but no file transfer, everything but not video, minimum video bandwidth, minimum audio bandwidth. You don't get to choose the settings in these policies. You pick between the policies. So just a bit of work to go through, decide which policies you want on which users that aren't default, work through your list and understand what those are. So how do we assign those policies to a user? Again, it's fairly simple. Once we know the policy we want, we can work our way down. And similar to what we did at the global level, but this time we're going to pick out a user. We're going to do a grant CS Online policy and assign it to an individual user. So grant CS conferencing policy, identity, we're doing user.1 here. Alternatively, we could do a get and get all the users with a certain attribute, so all the users with a certain site code, all the users with a certain thing in their name, whatever it is, and assign the policy. And we're setting no video. So this is quite a common one. So you want to set up Link Online, you're going to roll it out to thousands of users, you're not sure if your network's ready for video, network guys aren't quite sure, well, let's just get it out for IMP and audio. And then we'll start testing video on a user-by-user basis. So it's as simple as that, really. All the code is now there. You can copy that, and you can use it as you please. Any questions on the PowerShell stuff? Good stuff. Ah, yes, please. The license?
Yes.
It's set at your tenant level. So you pick the services, and you might have 20 E1 licenses and 20 E3 licenses.
Okay.
And they would have different names. So the enterprise pack is E3 effectively, and the others have other names.
Okay. And another question. When you participate in a meeting, like a voice meeting, are you able to participate with a satellite phone? Or must you be into the IP?
IP over satellite phone, there's no direct integration there. You could certainly use an audio conferencing provider and you could dial in. So if you made a PSTN connection on a sat phone, you could then dial into the conference. But okay. there wouldn't be an IP connection.
Okay.
If you had a data connection on SATs, you could potentially use the link client and join, but often satellite is very latent, so you'd have to understand you had a delay there potentially.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
But that sounds interesting, so if you want to talk to me afterwards, cool stuff.
Yes?
Are
there any delegation capabilities like RBAC or not at all?
In terms of administration? There's no RBAC at this time on Link Online. I think you're an admin or you're not. I believe there's obviously plans down the road to give some more granularity to that. Okay, so we've enabled our user. We've seen them signed in. How do we actually make sure our Link Online deployment is a success? It's tempting to think it's as simple as kind of fire and forget. We can enable the user on one line, we can push out the applications very easily, we can have the user go and download the mobile apps from the App Store and away they go. But it is a cultural change, Link, and the more you want it to be a success in your business, the more focus you need to put on how you're going to help your users, educate your users, train your users. It's very important. The more we see people put into that, the more success we see with Link and Link Online. So just a couple of pointers here. There's some very good stuff from Microsoft. This is the RASC, the Rollout and Adoption Success Kit. Essentially, it's a combination of kind of docs saying best practices for training, how to measure the experience for the users, how to get user feedback. So it's almost like a user adoption's basic pack. And there's ideas around content you can put on your internal intranet and desk drops and whatever else. So highly recommend you take a look at that. Even if you've done a deployment and you know you're years in and all your users are user get, consider looking at this stuff and understanding what you can do here to potentially improve the user experience. Yeah, next one. So reporting, measuring success. Now, I think this is so important, and particularly IT guys and wanting to talk to the business about how we're achieving and what we're doing and why what we're investing in is working. You can't beat kind of stats and reporting and business case justification. And we can do a lot of this in Link Online. So Link Online provides some usage reporting out of the box. You go to the Office 365 tenants and you can just pull up some basic graphs. But we can also do some advanced reporting, and we're going to go through how that works in a second. So here's what we're going to see. This is the advanced reporting. Microsoft don't just provide canned reports. They're providing an API, a RESTful interface, OData, basically, for techies in the room, where you guys as IT guys or vendors, and there's some vendors on the floor this week that are doing this stuff, can go into Office 365 and pull the information about usage and across all the products, not just across Link Online, and build some clever metrics and graphs around what's going on. So we're going to jump into a reporting demo now. So here's where we begin, at the Office 365 admin portal. On the left, we have a bunch of options, and we're going down to reports, and we want the link reports. Now, this is my personal test tenant, so the reports aren't terribly populated, if I'm honest. But here we can see the different report options. So active users, and we can break it down daily or monthly. And we have options for 14 days, 7 days, depending on the report, 30 days and 90 days. We can also see the number of peer-to-peer sessions. We can see the number of conference sessions. And we can also see the client devices. So what are my users using? Are they using mobile devices? Are they using desktop? Is it Windows Phone, iPad, Android? It's interesting to understand how our users are using the service. Particularly if there's a mobility push in your organization, these kind of stats are great. The online reports are what they are. We can go a step further still and use PowerShell to gather that data. So what I've done here, we've already connected to the service the same way we did previously. We've connected to Link Online and we've connected to Exchange Online. Interestingly, all the reporting for Link Online actually comes through Exchange Online. The data is held there, so the reports are in that module. So what we're going to do here is, with the Exchange Online module loaded, we're going to see with one line what reports are available to us. I show you this. It's get command get dash CS star wildcard reports wildcard, because new reports are being added all the time. So if you're looking at this again in a few months, it's likely there'll be some other report there. And here you can see the same reports we saw in the portal, but now we're going to be able to grab them with PowerShell, and we'll get objects for each report. So first, active users, and you see we've got, say, the tenant name, the date, and the active users per day, audio-video conferencing time, client device reports, and lastly, the peer-to-peer audio-video report. So similar stuff we saw in the portal, but now because it's in PowerShell, we can easily spit it out to a CSV, we can take actions based on that report, we can do a daily summary to our boss or to HR or whoever it is, all through PowerShell. The final way we can integrate with the or interact with the Office 365 reporting is kind of the most advanced and the most powerful, and that's through the APIs and through the OData. So you see here, I wanted to bring up this. You can Bing the link by looking at the heading. Office 365 getting started with Office 365 reporting web services. And I scroll halfway down this page, and there's a URL. Again, it's really simple. Don't be put off about it being super technical. There's a URL for the service. We're going to highlight that URL, and we're actually going to use Excel to connect to that service and pull our reports. So Excel has an option under data for from other sources, and this is an OData data feed. We stick in our URL. By virtue of my admin ID, it knows which tenant to go to. So I'm sticking in my admin ID and password. And then we'll be able to see all the reports available across Office 365 for all my services, so my SharePoint, my Exchange, and my Link. So here's the tables, and I'm not an Excel wizard, but you can see there's lots available in terms of data. And for you guys that are Excel wizards, you can obviously pick multiple tables and merge them and create reports and create graphs. I'm just going to pick the daily activity report. Again, this is my tenant, so it's not terribly heavily used, but you get the idea. We'll pull down and we'll see the data pull down, and then we'll be able to create a graph from that data. So we can see who's active on Exchange versus who's active on Link. We can see who's using SharePoint, who's using audio video minutes, who's using iPad clients. We can pull all that kind of data down to a very granular level. So using a recommended chart, active user report. So there we go, kind of 2 minutes, we've got the data, and obviously you can macro this and automate it and do all sorts of clever stuff. And the third-party companies are really doing some interesting stuff in this space, where they're starting to take this data and pull it into usage reports that span all the products. So if you're interested in reporting, it's worth having a look around the floor and seeing who's doing that. Okay, so last topic for the day, and I think this is important. It is a Link Online session, but hybrid is really important to understand, because there's some features available in Link Server that aren't yet on Link Online. And odds are, if you've got a bigger company, you might want to have accessibility to Link services all around the world, but at the moment your tenant will be in one region. So you can mix Link Online in the cloud and Link Server on-prem, or in a private data center, or with a third-party provider, to give your business the right experience and the right mix of functionalities and availability. I need to switch my slides, sorry. There we go. So there's just two things I wanted to cover off, and questions are welcome as we go on this. It gets quite complicated technically quite quickly, but it's important to understand what your options are. So here's an understanding of hybrid. It's the same SIP domain. So my users are abc.com in the cloud, and they're abc.com in the on-prem private cloud Link server. The users might not even know the difference. They don't have to. It doesn't matter. You're one organization. It's just some users are online, some users are on-prem. So we see this a lot on very big customers. It might be that a certain region has decided they want to do Link server for their PSDN, so they're going to replace their PBX with Link server. But they've got thousands and thousands of users who are in different regions with different PBXs. They're not quite there yet, but they still want to give them IP, instant messaging and presence, voice and video. This is a really easy way to do it. We set up the Link server in the region where they have the Link server and the PBX replacement. We set up hybrid, so a connection between our on-premise AD and on-premise infrastructure and Office 365, and we enable all the other users for Link Online. Single domain, single directory, and because of the beauty of the PowerShell stuff, we can obviously load the PowerShell modules for Link Online and the PowerShell modules for the on-prem servers, and we can do clever scripting around who goes where and who has what policy enabled. So we can automate that if you're in AD, in this OU, in this region, you get enabled as a Link Online user, and you're if in this OU, or you have this department name, or you have this boss, you're going to be enabled for a Link on-prem. Really, really manageable. Yes? Yes, yeah, the connection is done over the internet. Yeah, there are some dedicated options. Sorry, the question was, is the connection done over the internet? The answer is generally yes. There are some dedicated options at the large enterprise where you can have connections on private connections. There's not a lot of data going across that connection in terms of the hybrid. It's about syncing your infrastructures, so syncing user accounts and names and such. But it might take a while the first time, potentially, when you want to enable all the users. So this is my first of two good news slides for the day. Link Online, You can enable that today, and then you can decide in 6 months we want to do an on-prem server. It's a two-way street now. So it used to be, if you set up Link Online, it was challenging to go back to Link Server and set up a hybrid. Now this is fully supported, so there's no reason not to do Link Online today. You've probably got it in your licensing in your Office 365, but you still know in 6 months, 12 months, you're going to do an enterprise voice deployment where you want to replace the PBX. This makes life so much easier. Get it out now for IAM and Presence, do a bit of conferencing, a bit of video, while you're setting up your pilot for Link Server. Set it up as hybrid, and you can have a pilot of Link Server or a particular region on Link Server and still have everybody else on online. No reason to kind of slow down your deployment. In terms of setup, it's very simple. It's half a dozen PowerShell commands and a few DNS settings to flip it over. So very good that. Second bit of good news, and some of you might have been in this session this week, multiple forests are now supported with Office 365. So this is really cool. If you guys are doing a kind of cloud-first thing, we're moving away from on-premise, we don't want our own data centers. At the moment, as we spoke about at the top of the session, there are some features in Link Online that aren't in, or there are some features that aren't in Link Online that are in server at the moment. You now have the option to go to a partner provider, and they can essentially spin up Link for you, the full server version, and give you the full functionality. Previously, when they did this, they had to domain join to you to be supported. And that can be challenging from a security point of view if you go to one of the big providers and then you say to your security team, well, we just want them to join our domain. It's doable, but it's not the easiest. Now it's officially supported to have multiple forests. So the provider can set up a forest for your Link stuff. You can have your forest on-prem. And obviously, there's Office 365 as well. So we see here on the diagram, three infrastructures all working together. Again, same user accounts, same syncing, same namespace, seamless to the user, but now you can have enterprise voice hosted by a provider or a partner. You can have the rest of your information in Link Online, and you can have your on-prem AD, and it will all work and be supported seamlessly together. Any questions on hybrid or mixed forest? Yes. I'll give the mic guy a chance. Thank you.
Hey, what's the roadmap for Link hybrid deployments with Office 365, Link Online?
So I'm not a blue badge, so I'm not really allowed to talk about roadmap, is the honest answer. There's obviously lots going on. It's a key product. If you come to the stand at lunchtime, there's Microsoft guys on there, and there's options to talk to those guys around details of roadmap.
Certainly no step back, so this is something that will be will stay in place.
Yeah, no, so I mean, everything at the moment is about supporting the cloud and making the cloud better. But obviously, Link in particular, Link, because of its PSTN telephony, is still, there's a good place for having servers on-prem there and connecting to your local carrier and such. So I don't have any roadmap information, but hybrid is something that's obviously important to the product to support all the scenarios.
Just to check that I understand this scenario correctly, discovered a scenario with multiple account forests, but with single instance of Link Server on-prem. Is there a support for a scenario when you have a multiple on-prem instances of Link living in separate AD forests, hybrided with single tenant?
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. So that gets super complicated. Multiple Link on server on-prem works in multi-forest environments. You do your burst sync or your FIM and copy the attributes, that's fine. Office 365 now supports multiple environments. In terms of how many they've tested, there's a really good doc, and there was a session on Monday all about this. I don't know the answer offhand about how many they're supported. Logically, I can see how it would work. But if you want to grab me afterwards, there's a chap called Mohammed who did this testing, and we can find out what the support parameters are around it. There's also a doc you can download here that's really extensive about the setup. But it, certainly, logically, I can see how that would work. Yes?
Is Link Online, is it Enterprise Voice for Link? Oh, yes. Is Enterprise Voice for Link Online on the roadmap? So you can make a transition to a full online with all functionality?
Yeah, so yeah, $1 million question. The answer is yes. Publicly, Microsoft has said that they're going to do PSTN voice in Link Online. Again, I'm not a blue badge, so when that comes and how that comes hasn't been announced publicly. But what has been announced publicly is some kind of PSTN voice is coming. But again, think about, for that question, think about what you can do today. You can set up hybrid and you can set up an on-prem server and do some voice today, and when the cloud is ready, you can move to the cloud. I really encourage you not to wait for something that's coming. There's plenty of good options today, and certainly talk to partners about, I'm going to go cloud when cloud is ready, but for the next 12, 24 months, I want to go with you guys. You guys will have to transition me off when we're ready. Partners are open to that conversation, so it's worth having. Thank you. Okay, that's it for my session. I think we've got around 10, 15 minutes of question and answer time. So if anybody has any questions on anything we've covered or anything we haven't covered, they're welcome.
Follow-up question to what you just said. When you say PSTN access, that only means I can have a client talk to the PSTN, but it will not mean that Link Online will have any sort of interop with my legacy stuff, right?
I'm going to pull the not a blue badge. I'm not allowed to talk about that stuff. Come to the stand afterwards, and I will make someone's life awkward by pointing you at them and asking that question.
Thank you.
Sorry. All I can only say what's public at the moment, and that's something's coming, basically. Any other questions, guys? Cool. I think we'll wrap it up there then. Thanks very much for coming out. I hope the session was useful. Please do fill out the evals. There's related content links in the deck. The evals are really important to us. They help us understand what you need from the sessions and what you need in terms of my feedback. So really appreciate you coming out. Please fill in the evals. I'll be at the stand around lunchtime, the Office 365 Link Online stand. Bring me your questions there, and I'll be at Ask the Experts as well.